Albert said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Not after an introduction like that." After an introduction like that, I can hardly wait to hear myself. Wasn't that singing marvelous? All those singing lessons I gave you, Marcy, paid off in the end. And what a testimony from Halima, eh? What a story. It was fantastic. And there was one point where it was just getting worse and worse. It was like watching an episode of 24. Did you notice that? Where you just thought it couldn't get any worse, and then it gets worse. But God's so good, isn't he? He could take those worst situations, turn them round, and make a wonderful life for us. And more than that, give us eternal life, which is actually what it's all about. And Halima was very clear about that. And several people have prayed that and said that already, that that's what this morning is about. It's about a special opportunity for you to experience God, meet God, and be changed. And know that you're going to heaven. Know that your sins are forgiven and that you're right with God. This morning in this place, there are people with hungry hearts who've been looking for happiness all their life, searching for it, longing for it, and you have never experienced any real peace yet. And this morning, the good news is this: you can experience that peace before you walk out those doors. You can experience the peace of God in your life and know that your sins are forgiven. This week's an amazing week in the sort of church calendar running up to Easter. We remember all those incredible events that happened in the life of Jesus. What an amazing week it was. Every day this week, something significant happened for him. And today, in a lot of the traditional churches, I thought we'd be a traditional church today. Is that okay? And today, in the traditional church, this is called Palm Sunday. It's where all the Christians lift their hands and show their palms. No, it isn't. It's to do with when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. What an amazing, mysterious event that was, because when it happened, there was all sorts of contradictions going on. Some of you have had the privilege, as I have, of taking that journey that Jesus has took. You know what it's like to walk up the back of the Mount of Olives and get to the back of the Garden of Gethsemane, and then you turn right and follow the road round, and you just come over this little hill and you see Jerusalem, the most famous city in the world, right in front of you. If you shot an arrow, you could hit it. It's so close. But there's a steep hill down and hill up into the city through the gate. And Jesus found this donkey, got on it, started to walk, take this journey. And all the people were going berserk. Praise the Lord. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Isn't it great? The crowd were shouting. The crowd were waving, singing. But the strange thing is, as Jesus came over the hill and saw the city, he's weeping. He's weeping. And he's broken. And it's just such a strange contrast. If you saw that at Hollywood, imagine the Hollywood people are all waiting for the people to pull up in limos. And first of all, he comes on a bike. And instead of cheering and waving like a politician, he's broken. He's a broken man. This is Jesus. And this morning, I want to answer those two questions. Why the cheers? Why the tears? Firstly, why the cheers? Why was everyone going berserk? Why was everyone so happy to see Jesus? Because they thought Jesus was coming to sort out their problems. Jesus is coming to get rid of the Romans. Jesus is coming to give us a better lifestyle. Jesus is coming to bring us freedom. This is the King. He's going to sort out life for us here and now. He's going to sort out my immediate problems. And you've heard a lot this morning about how Jesus sorts out people's life problems. He does. But first and foremost, he sorts out the big problem. And the big problem is sin. That's the biggest problem in the human race. And your greatest need this morning is for forgiveness. You might have all sorts of needs on your agenda. My marriage is falling to bits. I'm in debt. I'm in all sorts of problems. God, help me. God, help me. God wants to help you. But first and foremost, there's this vital issue of your personal salvation. That's what matters. It's like being on a plane where you can smell smoke and you see the pilot walking down, getting some parachutes out, and he's handing out parachutes. And you say to the pilot, listen, I'm glad you're here. My legs are killing me. I haven't got enough leg room and I can't stand the people I'm sitting with and the food was cold. Who can I speak to? Can you get me a better seat? And he says, listen, let me just tell you something. This plane is going down. Let's get that sorted first, shall we? And we'll talk about the rest when you're on the ground safe. Yeah, you might have all sorts of problems in your life today and God can help you with them. But the greatest reason that Christ came and the main thing God wants to save you from this morning is sin. That's why Jesus came, not to get rid of the Romans, to get rid of the sin of the world. His aim was for the cross. God's concerned about your eternal destiny. The Bible says that when the first man sinned, Adam, sin entered the world. And sin's a disease that you're carrying in your body right now. And the Bible says that every bit of suffering and pain in the world all came from that one mistake, that one act of disobedience that's passed on. The disease of sin to all of us. Every one of us is affected by sin. We can all look good this morning standing in church, but God knows we need forgiveness and we need salvation. And our eternal destiny is what really, really matters. Secondly, the people were probably shouting. Some of them were probably just shouting because they were following the crowd. They were joining in the excitement. They were doing what everyone else was doing. If that isn't a picture of religion, I don't know what is. Just going through the forms, going through the rituals, doing it because I've always done it, doing it because my dad did it. Didn't Halima say that? Religion was the biggest problem in their church. Religion's a huge problem in the world today. Religion. And it's amazing how you can be a very religious person and have a heart that's full of hate for others. You see, religion is not the answer. It isn't. There's something else. One of the most religious men in the Bible is a man called Nicodemus. You'd have been impressed with him. He'd have been a big member of any of our churches. Because he gave 10% of all his income to the Lord. He fasted at least twice a week. He knew the Bible. In fact, he taught the Bible. He was a theologian. He was a holy man. He tried to live a good life. And Jesus had an interview with him and he said all of his goodness wasn't good enough. Jesus said, you have to be born again. Born again. That's what happened for Halima when she came to Christ. She was born again. Have you been born again? Born from above. Born of the Spirit. Two lives. John Wesley was a very religious man. He was an Anglican priest. He was a missionary in North America to the Red Indians. But he wasn't born again. And he met a Christian there who challenged him a little bit and said to him, John, do you know that Jesus died for your sins? And he said, I hope he did. Not good enough. He didn't know that Christ died for him. He was doing the religious thing. He was with the gang, but it's personal. It's a personal knowledge of Christ in your heart. And John got the ship back from America, and on the ship he wrote in his diary, I went to America to save the Indians, but oh God, who will save me? But the good news is he went back to London, was in a little church meeting in Aldersgate Street. You know the story. And as someone was reading from the beginning of a book, he felt in his heart this strange change. And he said, my heart was strangely warmed and I felt that Christ died for me, even me. You see, it's personal. It's not enough to be brought up in a Christian home, not enough to go to church, clap, sing. You can come into this on a relational ticket. I like the people. That's great, but it's not the point. The point is this. You must be born again. You personally must come to Christ and hand your life over to him. And in a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get out of your seat and come and stand down here at the front. If you've never done this, if you've never committed your life to Christ, and to give yourself to Jesus Christ completely, because that's what it means to be a Christian. And another reason they were singing and shouting and all that was because of miracles. It says they'd seen Jesus' miracles and were excited about them. Miracles are wonderful, aren't they? Isn't it wonderful when people get healed? And we believe that Jesus heals. We know he does and does miracles. And this morning, we're going to pray for the sick as well. And people can be healed. It's a wonderful thing to be healed. But the Bible says that miracles are signs. They're just signs pointing you to Christ. Pointing you to Jesus. Like a sign on the road. London, 100 miles. It's a sign. If you want to get to London, you're in the right direction. Keep going. When someone gets healed or something supernatural happens in someone's life or God answers your prayer, it's just a sign. You're on the right track. Keep going. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. You have to personally come to the cross. That's what happened to me. When I was 18, about 5 years ago now, I was a punk rocker, wasn't interested in God, wasn't looking for Christ. But a friend of mine challenged me one night, and I had a little look at the Bible, and I opened it, and God spoke to me through it. And the rest is history. That's why I'm here tonight. One little sign, one little thing this morning. I mean, and I didn't change straight away, but I came to the cross when I was 18. And I was born again. I've had two lives. One up until I was 18. And then I met Christ. And then this life. And do you know something? If I died right now, and with a belly this big, it's possible, I'd go straight to heaven. I'd be accepted by God. I know that I won't endure one moment in hell. Why? Because I've preached to lots of people. Not at all. Because when I was 18 years old, I went to the cross. And I committed my life to Christ. And Jesus entered my heart. And he's been with me ever since. Have you experienced that yet? Have you done that yet? Do you know for certain that you're right with God? You're right with God. Well, you need to. You need to know. And you can know today. Why the cheers? And then why the tears? Amazing. All the people are shouting and screaming. The camera swings round to Jesus. And he's weeping. Why was that? First of all, I think Gordon's already said, brought a word this morning about God weeping over us with arms wide open, wanting us to come. And God loves you. Those were tears of love that Jesus was weeping. If you forget everything else from this morning, remember this. God loves you. He loves you. He knows all about you. He knows every sin you've ever committed and he loves you. He loves you anyway and wants to forgive you and save you. Philip Yancey is a famous Christian author. If you went in the bookshop, you could find some of his books there. When he was in his 40s, he went to visit his mum one day. And he was never very connected to his dad. He never knew his dad because his dad died when he was one. His dad had polio. And those days, when you had polio, they put you in an iron lung to help you to breathe. And his dad died when he was one, so he just didn't feel connected to him, didn't know him at all. He was looking through some old photos in his mum's house, and he came across this one that was ripped on both sides and all crumpled. And he said to his mum, "Oh, mum, why have you kept this one? You throw it out, it's rubbish, it's all crumpled. You've got lots of me that age." And she said, "Oh, no, that's the most valuable of all." She said, "When your dad was dying, lied in his iron lung, he could only see two things. One was a mirror that they bolted on the iron lung that he could see me through and talk to me as I went to visit him. And the other was that photograph of you that they had to push between two bolts." And Philip Yancey said, when he realized that his dad had looked at him and looked at him and looked at him and prayed for him and loved him and loved him, he had a powerful reaction to it and felt connected to his dad. He knew he was loved. Now, you have a God like that. You have a father like that. Maybe you don't know God, but God knows you. And he's watched you and loved you all your life. He loves you and shed tears over you. He just said this morning, Gordon didn't know what I was going to speak about. God's speaking to you, saying he's weeping over you because he wants you to come to him and be right with him. The second reason that Jesus was weeping, he says himself, he says, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but it's hidden now from your eyes." Jesus was weeping because they didn't know how to experience peace. They'd missed their opportunity for peace. They didn't know what would bring them peace. The Bible says that we're justified, having been justified through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. It says God made peace through the blood of his Son. Jesus on the cross was buying our peace, paying the price for all of our sins, suffering in our place, suffering in your place. The biggest "I love you" you'll ever hear is Jesus' arms open on that cross. "I love you." Paying the price for us, bringing us peace with God so that our sins can be forgiven and we can have that peace, the peace of a clean conscience. It's an awesome experience, that. One of the last things Jesus said on the cross was, "I thirst." What a price the Father and the Son had to pay for us. "I thirst." That cry must have pierced heaven, searching for the Father's heart. And you know, which one of us could deny one of our kids, a little fevered child in the middle of the night crying, "I thirst"? But you know, the Father and the Son had already agreed that it had to be this way. "Son, if I spare you, I can't spare them. If I forgive them, you have to pay to the last penny." And Jesus on the cross paid to the last penny for every single one of us. That's the tragedy of those who won't come to him and won't receive their forgiveness. Will you come to him today? Will you receive that forgiveness that God has in his heart for you? The other lady spoke about flowers. Don't sit on those flowers. They're for you. And she said when she looked at the flowers, she felt God was speaking about his gift of forgiveness. There's a gift of forgiveness from God for you. Don't sit on them. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't rubbish what Christ did on the cross for you, because it's so important. And it's never too late. I was speaking in this old person's thing the other day. I was on a table with six girlfriends. They were all 84. And I love being called young man. Does something for you. And I just spoke for a few minutes. And at the end, this old lady came up to me, hanging on her husband's arm. And she said, "Thank you." She said, "I've been coming here for a long time, but I've never heard anything so clear as that before. I understand why Jesus died for me now." And I said to her, and did you pray the prayer at the end? And she was beaming. She said, I did. I said, welcome to the family. It's never too late to respond to Christ. And the last reason Christ was weeping was this. He said, there'll be all sorts of destruction coming to the city now because you did not recognize the time of God's visitation. Jesus wasn't weeping about his own future. He was weeping about theirs. He wasn't weeping in self-pity, worried about the cross and the injustices that were going to happen to him. He was weeping over the nations that would reject him. Not his future, theirs. And we have to take the opportunities that God gives us when he gives us them. They'd come so close. They'd had a visitation from God, and yet they'd rejected it. And this morning, some of you are closer to the kingdom of God than you maybe ever will be. This is a unique opportunity for you to get right with God. Some of you have made Christ, you feel you've made Christ your savior, but he's not really your Lord. I think that came out of the service this morning as well. He's not really Lord of your life. That's why, like that crowd, sometimes on a Sunday, you're Jesus, Jesus, and through the week, you're a different person. You're still controlled by sin, by the old nature. You need to come to Christ this morning and commit yourself absolutely to him and experience the fullness of his life. This is a unique opportunity for you not to miss. Jesus was weeping because they'd missed the chance, because for them, it was too late. And there does come a point where it's too late. There comes a point for every one of us where we've had opportunity after opportunity and we've missed it. But that's not this morning. This morning you have an opportunity right here and now to be right with God. We're going to stand and pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to him now. Let's stand together. And the band, if you come back. And those of you who know you need Christ, know you need forgiveness, know you want to commit yourself this morning to Christ, you just come and stand down here at the front now. You can come now. You don't have to wait for anyone else. Quickly come. Don't hold back. Don't hesitate. You just come and stand down here at the front now. If you know you need forgiveness, if you know you need Jesus, if you know you need to know that you're going to heaven, that you need to be born again, God bless you. There's others of you, God's spoken, you come quickly and stand here. And you can come with a friend who brought you if you need to, but you quickly come and don't hold back. Don't miss this opportunity to come to Jesus Christ this morning. He loves you. He's wept over you. His arms are open to you. You come to him. Come with a friend who brought you if you need to. Talk to them, but don't hold back. Come now, quickly. Those of you who know you live a double life, you come. Come and put it right this Easter. Put it right this Easter. Say, God, I'm finished with singing and praising 1 minute. Because the same crowd that sang and praised and lifted their hands to him were the same crowd that was spitting on him on Good Friday. And we know we can all do that. We don't want to do that. You know God's spoken to you. You quickly come. We're going to wait for you and give you a couple of more minutes. This is a unique opportunity. Don't miss it. You know you're born again. You know you're born again. If you sat in those, if you stood in the rows and not forward, there's only two options. You know you're born again, or you're saying no to Jesus Christ. They're the only two options. And you're free to do that. But you need to know that's the case. This is a serious moment for you. This is a critical moment for some of you. This morning you'll say yes or no to Christ. That's so serious. It's so important. You make your decision now. And if you need to be down here, quickly come. Some of the most famous Christians in the world came at the last moment. Is there anyone else this morning who needs to come? I'm going to pray now, but if you need to come, and I feel there is people who need to come here. Don't let anything hold you back. God loves you. He loves you. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to forgive you down here and give you a new start and a new heart. You quickly come now and don't hold back. His arms are open. His tears are flowing for you. You come to him. Well done. Come through here. Bless you. We're going to pray. Everyone at the front, I want you to follow me in a prayer, okay? God loves you and he's here for you this morning. You made a wonderful decision for Christ. I want you to pray out loud with me. And everyone at the front and the people who pray with them, you can pray as well. Out loud. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning just as I am. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me and rose again to give me new life. I invite you into my heart as Saviour and Lord. I bow the knee. I say, Jesus is Lord. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. For all of my sin, I ask you to give me the power to live a new life. Come, Holy Spirit, let me be born anew today. Give me the gift of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the cross and for all it cost you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for these beautiful people who you love. And we pray for them this morning, Lord, that you would bless them and change them and touch them and heal them in every way. Amen. And if you want to make a little movement that way, guys, there's some people who are going to pray for you there and give you some literature. God bless you. Should we give them a round of applause? Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pass over back to Albert, but before I do, can we just pray for the sick? And we're going to have an opportunity for people to come forward and receive prayer. Which side is it, Albert? Over in this area here, to see some miracles. But should we just pray now while we're standing as well? Why don't you put your hand on the part of your body that's sick, and we'll ask the Lord to heal you and take away the pain, and then come and get some more prayer as well. If you've got a problem in your body, put your hand where the problem is now and just close your eyes and look to Jesus, and we'll ask him to heal you now from whatever that problem is. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful power, for the reality of your presence and the power of your name. And Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus, we take authority over all sickness in this room and command it to leave now. We command any spirit, any dark spirit in Jesus' name to leave this room. All depression, all anxiety, leave in Jesus' name. And we speak to all pain and command pain to go in the name of Jesus now. And Lord, we ask you to release your healing power all over this room to mend backs and hearts and lungs and joints and organs and blood. We pray that all cancer will be gone from this room in the name of Jesus. Every cell in every body would be blessed and healed in Jesus' name now. Lord, we receive it. We worship you. If you'd like some prayer for a sickness, why don't you come now?